it was born out of jamming in soundcheck, out of being bored, and like, so after a while you don't want to play the songs that you're playing live, so we just started playing like classics, and we started playing, you know, covers of everything from, you know, the real thing to Bowie and loads of stuff. We just started playing around, and then once that riff, the da-da-da-da-da, once that was established, it was just kind of wrote itself. But yeah, it's definitely a one for dancing. I mean, a lot of the record is this kind of record's either for like dancing or crying, I think. There's not much middle ground.
Sounds like my Friday night. Yeah. First of all, I wanted to talk about the hair, because it's a lot curlier than it used to be, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a fair comment. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that because you've stopped straightening it, or...?
No, it's like, my hair, I can't believe we're talking about my hair. Yeah. My hair is, it's kind of like, imagine it like, a bit like pipe cleaner. If I get out of the shower and it's wet, I mould it into a straightness by, I don't know, pushing it back or something. If it dries straight, it stays straight. If it dries curly, which it does naturally, then it stays curly. So my hair is mainly a reflection of my lack of interest of or kind of investment and care in my hair.
That's good. That's nice to know, though, isn't it? It's nice to know.
I think it's good for natural hair. It works for me.
I think... I'm not going to read into it too much, but I think it represents you. There's like an energy there, isn't there, in the curls?
Very much so. Yeah, the curls. Curls get the girls. That's
curls get the girls. Amazing. Can I move a little bit closer? Because otherwise I'm going to lose you on mic. Any excuse. So let's talk about the tour routine then. What's your day-to-day like? Because tonight's the last gig, right?
It's the last gig of the UK run. Yeah. It's... There's not as much ceremony as you may expect. I think that's what everybody kind of thinks, but you've got to remember, like, it's quite a slow pace being on tour, and it's interjected with moments of like intense energy. So the pace of your life kind of comes into question, or not comes into question, but you're very aware of the slow times and the fast times.
Yeah.
But we do a lot. We just, you know, we try and. Since we started touring in 2013, like, we'd already written like our first album, so a lot of our spare time was made making music, whether it be some of the EPs that we did, and then working with artists like Japanese House, and then making our second album. And now, so we've started writing our third album, really. It's kind of what we've done. Yeah, we're kind of like a few songs into what will eventually be the next 1975 record. So we just really make music and then play music and make music and then play music.
Where do you write most of your music?
I spend a lot of time in my own head, so it doesn't really matter too much to me. And I'll have an idea, and then I'll get George to either articulate it, or I will play something quickly on the keyboard and we'll make a little recording of it. Then I'll have that on my phone and then I'll just listen to it all the time. That's kind of how I write. I write kind of out of context.
Okay.
And a lot of stuff's just written on the back of fag packets and stuff like that. But yeah, it's tour buses.
Okay.
Tour buses, you write a lot.
Is that because you get a clear mind on a tour bus? Because
that's because I don't have anywhere else to go. Sorry, you can't swear. It's because I don't have anywhere else to go. And once you've been on tour for a while, you find comfort in things that you didn't expect to find comfort in, you know, because you don't have any consistency of environment, or... The only thing you have is kind of consistency of relationship. So you just kind of settle into that, and your environment just becomes a moot point, really.
Yeah. What are you going to do to celebrate last night then? Are you going to go out? Are you going to have an early night?
We haven't been out. It's not that we've been taking it seriously, but I think that we've kind of, since when we first went on tour, we didn't stop. We toured from 2013 till the end of 2015. So we went from 23 to 26 for a start, which is kind of a big difference. And then coming back, the second album was such a, for us, was like a kind of pursuit of excellence, really. We just wanted to be as excellent as we could be as a band. And I think that some of that is imparted onto our live show, the way that it looks and the way that it works. And I think that the professionalism has kind of naturally been born into the band a little bit, just through circumstance. So it's not like we've been like, right, let's take it seriously.
Yeah.
But I think we feel like, we feel like men, like, playing gigs now, as opposed to boys.
You wrote that letter for your fans, and you spoke about your world. I quite like the deep stuff. Yeah. Your world going from like becoming more colourful, but also at the same time becoming less colourful. What did you actually mean by that? Can you put that into?
It's funny, like, a lot of those things come out quite spontaneously at very specific times, if you know what I mean. But I think that letter in particular, what I meant by that was visually, aesthetically, superficially, it's a more colourful experience. It's Technicolor, I wanted to have to almost perform in like this art installation. That's what we wanted to create. So visually, that's what I was talking about. But philosophically, I think that in order to make the second album like a true distillation of the first album, it needed to be everything and more than the first album was. And I think that what we did a lot was, what we always do is write songs that sound colourful, but lyrically and narratively are a bit more macabre. Do you know what I mean? A bit more sinister. And I think that there's a lot... This album, for me, it is brighter and it is poppier.
Mm-hmm.
And it is more expansive and more grandeur, but it's also more emotional and more sentimental and sadder and more challenging for me to listen to.
I think that's quite interesting because you've got quite a young following. I was speaking to a One Direction fan the other day, and I said, you know, what's it like being a 1D fan at school? And she said, well, it's really difficult for me to fit in because everybody loves the 1975. You're not cool unless you love the 1975. And I was like, wow, that's like 15-year-olds that are obsessed with your band.
Yeah, I think that's partially down to the fact that, like, especially with, like, because I mean, you've got to remember that most people who are really, really, to gauge what people's fan demographic is, a lot of people look to social media, and the most engaged or the most active people on social media are the younger side of the demographic. So those are the ones that you see are more vocal. I mean, if you come to one of our shows, there's a huge demographic of age and everything, and creed and colour, and that's one of the things I love about it. But it's specifically for the young people. I think with a band like us, because musically, I love pop music. I grew up listening to everything from Al Green to Barry White, and I love big songs. But I'm also quite a culturally minded person, and I think, you know, musically minded people make the worst music, culturally minded people make the best. Right. Really, that's kind of how it works. And I think that because we've straddled it and we know what we like and we stick to our guns, and if you find that cool, then there's quite a lot of substance there. We've kind of become this like gateway band for young kids to kind of immerse themselves in alternative music. You know, I see it. I see kids who come from, you know, let's say the One Direction camp over to 1975, and then their whole thing changes and they're dressing like completely different, and then they're into Nine Inch Nails, and then they're into this and this.
Yeah.
And this. And so it's interesting, but it's very humbling to be 26 and feel like I'm truly resonating with people, a generation underneath me, because that's what I want my art to do. I want it to be like high art, fine art for the masses.
That's cool. And you're speaking about you like pop music, and
I love pop music. I live and breathe pop music.
In other interviews, you've mentioned, you know, the people that you are able to socialise with, Ed Sheeran, Justin Bieber. We all know about that story now.
Yeah.
And which tunes at the moment that you're listening to and going, actually, yeah, that absolutely deserves to be in the top 10?
Oh, there's loads of stuff. I mean, like, that new Justin Bieber record is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's quite funny the way that everyone's saying that Justin Bieber now is particularly credible, and I think it's more to do with the very, very, very talented people that are involved in actually the production of his records. Because the reason those records are so good is because, I think, you know, you can hear Diplo, you can hear people whose life is in music production, which is what my life is in. So I wouldn't want to discredit Justin Bieber, but I don't maybe think he's quite the visionary that people are painting him out to be at the moment. But also, but I think that record's really, really good. Who else is good? Ezra Furman's really good. I've been in my own world a little bit. I like Muramasa. I'm listening to a lot of like kind of left field. Me and George are really into our dance music, our house music.
Is there anyone that you're tipping for 2016 success?
To the Japanese House.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I have the privilege of discovering her and signing her to our label. I mean, she's a genius, like full-on genius. I don't have to... I've almost wanted to remove my name from production credits on certain records because I feel like she's so fully accomplished as an artist. But I'm very, very lucky and humbled to work with her, and me and George have been... producing, helping her produce her records, and she's just amazing. She's like, she's really, really amazing. She's this kind of like, I don't know, Alison Moyer meets Imogen Heap. Like, it's insane.
Really?
She's amazing.
That's That's cool. That sounds exciting. Love Me, obviously, we've been playing it, and that is really a burst of colour. Like, you came back with a big, big kind of brightness on that. In the cardboard cutouts, which one, who is the person that you punched? Do you remember who you punched over?
That was Bruce Lee.
Is that who it is?
Yeah, that's why I punched him.
Because I thought it was Will Young.
Oh, no, I'd never punch Will Young.
I know, who could punch
Will Young? Who could punch Will Young? It'd be like punching a puppy.
Is there anyone else that you wish that you'd had a cardboard cutout in that room?
Well, there's loads of people that I tried to get, but you've got to remember, that was subject to getting approval. So I got approval from all those people. I text Ed, I tried to get in touch with Harry, and then Label people sorted it out. Charlie XCX is kind of a friend of friends.
Yeah.
I text Rito and she said, as long as you don't hump me. And I was like, well, I probably will hump you a bit. And yeah, and it was just, I kind of wanted to, and then there's loads of people in there. There's like William Burroughs, which I was really happy to get in there. I tried to get Taylor in there, but I couldn't get in touch with her. She's probably quite busy, Taylor Swift. So yeah, but apart from that, there was that was kind of my dream list. I went a bit left and started putting loads of people in there. I even made a cardboard cutout of my mum, but then I thought, do I want to, am I taking the I couldn't figure out whether I was taking the so I stopped myself.
I like that you stopped yourself. Yeah, I'm glad that you did. How did you get Elvis Presley's permission? Where'd you go for that?
They don't really care. Let's not talk about it.
Okay. So the album then, when can we expect it? Like, what's going on with that?
February the 26th or something like that. February the something, the 7th or I don't know. But what can you expect?
Yeah.
A very expansive record. I mean, I'm very proud of it. I'm very tired because it's quite... I thought it was quite an intense listen, and then the people that have heard it have qualified that statement.
Okay.
And it's quite I mean, there's really no rule book to our band, and I think that's kind of how it sounds. You know, like, we create in the way that we consume, and I've always said that. That was one of the reasons that we didn't get signed in the early days, because people couldn't relate to this, you know, like being like a cultural magpie, you know, like just creating all types of music. So it goes from like neo soul to, you know, like the art funk of like of Love Me, and we're putting out another song in a couple of days, which is almost kind of inspired by like Destiny's Child and SWV and that kind of thing.
Wow, okay.
So there's lots in there.
That's exciting. That's exciting for me, because I think that's the beauty of your band, is that it does appeal to everybody's got a favourite song, and it's not necessarily the same song.
Exactly.
That's
cool. It's because we are almost like a different band, but it's like that. I always say a difference between like, I just want it to feel like the 1975, not have that thing where you can put the lead singer of a band as a feature on any song and it will sound like that band. Like Coldplay, for example. I love Coldplay, by the way, and I'm not saying, but Chris Martin, if you put his voice on a Rihanna song, it sounds like a Coldplay song.
Yeah.
Whereas my voice changes a lot throughout the record, and, you know.
Okay, final question then for you, because then I'm going to let you get on with your life.
Yeah.
What's your... It's not a really poignant one or anything.
Okay.
It's just, what's your favourite bit of promo material that you've got? Because I went through your website, and I'm falling in love with one of the T-shirts, and I just want to know what your favourite bit.
What T-shirt do you love?
You know, the blue one?
Yeah.
The first one on the website.
Yeah,
I was immediately
right. You like it?
Yeah.
Oh, we can get you one of them.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's a few of them.
Amazing.
So we'll get you one. My favourite promo thing is... well, there's a few things that we're doing. I like our Rizzlers, because I just like having my own Rizzler, because I think that's quite cool.
Yeah.
We're putting out tapes soon, because I think we're quite an 80s tape deck band, and I'm going to release a couple of tapes. My favourite thing is... promo things of vinyl singles.
Okay.
Because the how tangible it is, and the fact that I've seen such a desire for our vinyl, like as soon as we get them they sell out.
Okay.
And I just love that as a kind of testament to, you know, the cyclical nature of culture, that now, like, that everyone wanted a digital thing. We need it digital. I need it to have it on my phone. I need it on my laptop, or that's what I want. And then once you have that for a while, you think, okay, right, that's good.
Yeah.
But now I want it back. And I want the CD again, or I want the vinyl again. Happens a lot with cameras. The amount of kids that turn up with Polaroids now, because it was a time where you didn't want the picture. It wasn't instant enough. So they wanted the instantness of it on a screen. Then they wanted it instantly to be on the screen on their phone.
Mm.
And then they wanted it to be so instant, they wanted to take it out of their phone so they could actually just hold it and look at it. And now we've gone back the whole other way.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that.
Do you know, I studied authenticity of live music for my dissertation. And so I did a lot about venue size, and I noticed that you talked about that in your letter as well. Like, venue size is quite important to you.
It is, just because of the environment that it provides and the sense of community. Because that's what we're about, really. It's just about the community. That's the only thing we exist for now, because we have this completely insular world that I don't really leave. And it's all kind of created for these people and come straight back. And I think that to celebrate that idea, you can't do it in a big expansive space. And like, as soon as we came off tour, all the agents were like, right, arenas, this kind of thing. And it's like, seriously? It's like, say I'm 17, my favorite band's done one album, and the first time they come back, the only opportunity I have to see them is at the back of some arena. Like, I'm not going to that show.
Yeah.
So I mean it, but we are a big band and we need to do that, and I want to play big shows. Like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
But as long as the experience can be appreciated by everybody, and people know that we're not there for the wrong reasons, we're there so we can fit all of these people in there, not so I can stand there and be like, look at me on this stage.
Mm-hmm.
That's not why I'm there at all. So I just wanted to make sure that we reinstated that.
So bearing that in mind, would you like to introduce your own song whilst we play it on the radio?
Sure. All right, my name's Matty from the 1975, and this is our current single, Love Me.